Now, the voices of Bronco Athletics, Bob Beeler and Chris Lewis on Sports Radio 93.1 FM and 1350 AM, The Ticket.
We are now 2 days away from the opener for Boise State in Troy. We are out and about today at Chicago Connection, 4th and Bannock. A number of people down here eating and enjoying lunch, something that I can say that I have kind of finished. Chris is in the midst of. I had a great individual pizza, pepperoni. I've got a salad still to go. Your chicken Alfredo looks outstanding there.
Yeah, it's really, really, really good. I can't wait to just munch it down during the break. I took a picture of you eating your pizza and put it out on Twitter. I don't know if you saw it. I know the followers of me saw it, and I'm telling you, they're jealous.
Yeah.
They're jealous. They want some of that. Now, I was worried, as I put on the caption of the tweet, I didn't want you to talk with your mouth full while you're hosting a radio show.
That's
out
why
here.
I ate first.
But you did. We were able to finish it. You got it done in time. Meanwhile, I'm the one here stuck with food as we begin the show.
And you always give me a hard time sometimes about having my mouth full when we come back from a break. We'll see if we can catch you in that today. But we're going to be out at Chicago Connections during the course of the football season. We'll be there before the Virginia game, before the Wyoming game, before the Air Force game to get you ready for it, talk a little football, and do our show from out here. We appreciate the folks at Chicago Connection for having us. Again, if you want to stop by, we're here until 3 o'clock. We will be at another Chicago Connection coming up before the Virginia game, which is the second home game. Season starts tonight, really. This is the start of the Labor Day weekend, first true weekend of college football. And everybody wants to get to the playoff four and then ultimately win the national championship. Our question is, how many really have a chance? And if you aren't in the top five, do you really have a chance? Because nobody that has started outside of the top five, and again, it's not a big sample size, just 3 years. This is the fourth year of the college football playoff.
Yeah.
No one has won it that hasn't started outside the top five.
Yeah, we're learning about the college football playoff and where preseason rankings and how it fits and how far out can you be and still make the playoffs. We're still learning a lot about the system, but 3 years in is at least some kind of a sample size. As you mentioned, the national champion college football has been in the preseason top five of the AP poll every single time. The coaches poll, Ohio State was sixth the first year. In the AP poll, they were five. And Ohio State, of course, ended up winning the championship in 2014. But how's this for a hot take to begin a college football season? The national champion in college football this year, for the first time in the college football playoff era, will come outside of the preseason top five. Preseason top five this year, we got Alabama, we got Ohio State, we got Florida State, got USC, you got Clemson. I'm taking the field. I'm taking all the other teams. I'll give you those five if you want to take the other side. But I'm going with the field will win the national championship in college football this year.
I was trying to think of whether I would be willing to take the field. My initial reaction would be no. I'm going to go with the chalk. I'll take the top five and hope that they win. Now, every year, at least two teams in the top five have made the playoff four. So what you're hoping, if you're going to take the chalk, the top five, is that that holds true and two of them get into the playoffs, because then you probably have a chance of getting at least one to the championship game and then getting that team across the finish line to win. I'm looking at who might replace these teams, and I think the way you look at it is by looking at leagues, because more often than not, a league's not going to get two teams in this. It's possible, but not that likely. I think a game that's going to decide a whole heck of a lot of who gets in addition to this week's game between Florida State and Alabama, whoever wins that one is going to get a big step forward. But I think the game September 9th between Ohio State and Oklahoma is going to be a big one.
Yeah, that's
huge. Because I think the two teams in the Big 12, Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, that look like, you know, they have a shot, that are not in the top five, both have very easy schedules. The Big 12 plays nobody outside the league other than that game. And I think that their biggest worry of getting to the playoff four is that they have to play each other and then possibly play each other again in the conference championship, because that league takes the top two teams in that does not have divisions. So they could cancel each other out, one of them winning the regular season game, one of them winning the playoff game. I think the Pac-12 has very good opportunities, that USC is not the champion there. The Stanford-Washington survivor could beat them. I don't know whether UCLA is going to have enough. And then I guess the big question is, can anybody in the SEC knock off Alabama to put somebody else from that league forward.
All right, so let me build my argument, because you heard mentioning some teams, and some of those teams fit into my argument. But again, I'm saying, for the first time in the college football playoff era, the national champion in college football will come outside the preseason top five. Alabama, I think they're going to make the college football playoff, but they're going to run into a strange problem this year. Alabama is a good team in a weak conference. What have you ever said that about the SEC? When's the last time we said that? But I think they're a good team in a weak conference. I don't think the SEC is, like, that strong this year. Who's the second-best team? And especially on their side, like, there is a gap between Alabama and the rest. And those are the same reasons that we just toppled Big Ten teams, and reason why we said they struggled in bowls. The top teams in the Big Ten, we kept saying that league wasn't as good, so the top teams weren't getting tested as much throughout the regular season, and that's why they struggled in bowl games. Well, that same argument's going to apply to Alabama this year, so while I think they get through the SEC, I do think there's a chance that they're not as tested in league as they've been in previous years. And also, the theme of college football this year has been the excellent quarterback play. You'll probably have a couple of them make their way through to the college football playoff. What we've learned about Alabama, if you have a good enough quarterback, you can figure out that defense. Like, they're really good at taking advantage if you're average to incompetent at that quarterback spot. But if you have a really good one, they find a way to figure out that defense. So if they get into a spot where they're facing one of those good QBs, I think they're susceptible to a loss in the college football playoffs. Ohio State, their schedule's really tough, to a point where you could say their schedule is too tough. They didn't even make the Big Ten title game last year. We're giving them a lot of credit based on the fact that they made the playoff, and I understand, but you got to remember, they did not win their conference. They didn't even make it to their conference championship game. And this year they have Penn State, they have Michigan, and you mentioned their game against Oklahoma. Are you sure that they're going to be able to navigate it through? And if they don't win their conference again, are we going to pick them to get to the championship? I think that's a rare opportunity.
And I think between Michigan, Penn State on their side, and then Wisconsin, Nebraska, whoever fights through, I'm not so sure that I would rate them I don't think they have as good a chance of winning the Big Ten as Alabama does the SEC.
And you don't think as much as Barrett, who is their quarterback, as a lot of other people do. Now you go down the list of the top five teams, Florida State. They'll start the season with a loss. I think Alabama will beat them. I have those picks on KTIK.com. Yes, we're doing our expert picks once again. That was one of the games featured. I picked Alabama. So I'm putting a loss on them in week number one. So now I have to ask the question, am I confident that they can go through the ACC without losing? And I just don't think that they could go through that ACC schedule without losing. So how many losses will take them out of the college football playoff discussion? I mean, they could lose to Clemson easily. You could see that one on the board. And last year they lost to North Carolina as well. For a team that lost their best offensive weapon in Dalvin Cook, you have their schedule open. There's opportunities for them to go down. If you say they're going to lose in week one, they can't afford another real big hiccup. And I'm just not as confident that they can go through it without Jameis Winston at quarterback when, you know, it was easy enough for them to go undefeated when they had him.
I'll give you a couple of places where they could lose.
Yeah.
Miami, North Carolina State,
mm-hmm.
Louisville, Clemson, Florida.
NC State's, like, pretty good this year. They'll have an opportunity to really have an impact on the national championship picture, and Ryan Finley might get some big-time games. So Florida State, that's why they're not going to win the championship this year. USC, they won't win the championship this year because they are not the best team in their league. I feel pretty confident saying Washington is the better team. I love how they're coached, of course, with Chris Peterson there. Jake Browning is just building off of what he's been able to do in that league, and he's been pretty incredible. I just think the way even you look at some of their main contributors from last year's team, there were a lot of underclassmen on that Washington squad. So I think Washington will beat USC in the Pac-12 championship game to earn the playoff spot. So USC off the list of teams that can win the championship. Moving on down, Clemson, the last team in the top five. I'm sorry, Clemson's not repeating as national champion when they lost to Sean Watson, who was like their superstar quarterback. It might be good and they have a lot of other pieces, but they didn't only lose Watson. Mike Williams, receiver there, was another key loss. So they won't have their target on their back the entire year. Sweeney, we know, is a pretty good coach, but you're not repeating as national champion losing to Sean Watson. So those are the five teams that are preseason top five. None of them are winning the national championship this year.
Made some good cases, counselor.
There we go. Maybe I can get you on my side by the end of the show.
Where do you think the surprise teams are going to come? Because I've got a couple that I have this year that I think could maybe find themselves in the playoff four.
Who you got?
I've got Miami.
All right.
I've got Miami. I think Miami is going to win the ACC this year. I think Mark Richt has had some tremendous recruiting classes. I think Mark Richt's going to do something that he couldn't get done at Georgia, and that gets by, get by the big boys to get themselves in there. I really like what Miami has this year. We'll see. It's an out-of-the-box pick for a team that could make it to the four.
I'll say one to make you nervous, because Georgia.
Wow.
You know, Eason, you don't – I don't know your opinion on him at quarterback. You probably haven't seen enough out of him as – the Georgia leader at the quarterback spot. But I'm just looking at the SEC East. If Florida is already in turmoil, which it seems like they have, like, what, half their team suspended for the opener. Maybe they'll get it together a little bit later in the season. And then who's next on the SEC East to challenge? Is it Kentucky? Is Kentucky the next best team in the SEC?
Oh,
that's what people are saying.
No.
People are saying Kentucky is the challenger in the East. So if you're really saying Kentucky is a breakthrough team, you're telling me that the SEC East isn't that good. So,
and I'm not a fan of Tennessee or South Carolina.
Okay.
I think East is bad.
So if the East is bad and Georgia's pretty good, if they're okay, they'll win that conference. They'll win that side and a chance to play in the championship game against Alabama, and that's all you can ask for. One game against Alabama, maybe things break their way. So if you're talking about a team that has a path to surprise some people and maybe be a dark horse team to the top four, maybe it's Georgia. And that just made you nervous. You're a Georgia guy. You don't even want to hear
surprised.
That. You want to go under the radar.
I'm worried about Appalachian State on Saturday. Very worried about Appalachian State. Troy is going to be worried about Brett Rippon. Boise State is going to be worried about Brandon Silvers. We've got two good quarterbacks. Boise State quarterback Brett Rippon is going to join us next. And again, tomorrow we'll be out freezing for a reason at Maverick on Eustick in Cloverdale and Boise, raising money for the Wildland Firefighters Foundation. Drop by from 1 to 6 tomorrow. You could also go to KTIK.com to bid on Coors-branded skis, coolers, refrigerators, and more. And then tomorrow you can watch Chris and I and then Caves and Prater broadcast from a beer cooler jam with Coors Banquet Beer. Your purchases help firefighters. We'll be freezing for a reason tomorrow on Sports Radio 93.1 FM and 1350 AM, The Ticket. When we come back, we'll talk about Brett Rippon. Is the Boise State offense ready for Troy? That's next on Sports Radio, The Ticket. Idaho Sports Talk, Bob and Chris from 1 to 3 today, broadcasting from Chicago Connection at 4th and Bannock. Great spot for lunch. Very fast. I was very impressed with how quick they got it out. Very impressed with the taste. I went for the create your own individual pizza and a salad bar. Chris right now chowing down on the chicken.
It's penne pasta.
Penne pasta.
With some mushrooms inside. It's got some chicken in there, and there's some garlic bread. You can look over.
I know.
I'm protective of, like, I want to eat it all,
yeah.
And I'm not going to let you have some, but you can look at it. There's no harm in looking.
I wanted to say penne, and I was looking for Alfredo sauce was what I was looking
for.
That was the sauce. I'm looking at it. I knew it wasn't marinara. I knew it was Alfredo. It looks good over there, too. But outstanding. We appreciate them being down here. Brett Rippon is going to be Boise State's quarterback for a third season. He did not start as a freshman, moved in when Ryan Finley was injured in game three. This will be his third year. He's been a two-time postseason all-conference quarterback in the Mountain West, and had a chance to visit with him and ask him what the difference for him is being a third-year starter than either a first or second-year one.
I think it's a little bit different. You know, obviously going into my third year now, I've had some experience in this offense, and I've been around here for a while now, so having this going into the third year, I feel like I'm more prepared. I've seen a lot of different things. I'm looking forward to get out there and seeing some new faces on the offense.
Yeah, I mean, to that point of experience, like, is there a situation that you haven't been in at this point? Because, I mean, it's been 2 years, but a lot has happened in those two seasons since you've been a starter.
Yeah, no, for sure. I've definitely learned a lot. Through our wins and through our losses as well. I think that's the biggest thing I've learned, through these 2 years is, how to deal with adversity, how to deal with certain situations, and, hopefully I can carry that into the game and, help some guys out who don't have that experience.
We're visiting with Boise State quarterback Brett Rippon, season opener against Troy on Saturday at 1:45 on the Blue. Brett, how do you feel the offense has come together in camp? No preseason games in college, so our first chance really to see the team play, and really the team's first chance to see the team play, is on Saturday in the first game. So how do you feel coming into it with the way you guys have come together?
I feel good. I think I could speak for every team in the country right now. I think they all feel good, you know, coming into that first game. They feel confident. Everybody's from this point has been working hard for 9 months now, been waiting to get out there and finally hit somebody else. So, I think it's all going to come down to execution and, handling the bad stuff that comes our way. You know, there's going to be adversity throughout the game. So that's something that we're going to have to deal with. And, I'm looking forward to get out there with the guys finally and, go play somebody else besides their defense.
I like the line you said, like every team at this point is feeling confident. Nobody's really played a game yet. But, of course, within that, teams are more confident in certain areas of the team as they are in other areas. So where on the team are you most confident? What do you feel like most confident strength of Boise State is at this time?
Our whole team, honestly. I mean, I think that goes back to the quote, you're only as good as your weakest link. And I think that's something that I've definitely seen throughout camp is, we've built depth with a lot of different positions and, guys have done a great job working hard and staying focused every single day through practice. So, I can't really pick out one area I'm really most confident in. I'm excited, obviously, to see our offense because I deal with them every single day, go out there and, compete. But at the same time, I'm really excited to see what our defense can do as well because we got a lot of good players over there.
You mentioned the defense. Both Troy and Boise State's defense will have a lot of fresh faces this year. Does it make things more difficult to prepare for when you're not totally sure who's going to play? I mean, for both you and Brandon Silver as their quarterback?
Maybe a little bit. It's not so much personnel, I think, as it is, schemes. And, a team could come out and, run something completely different on you in the first game that you've had no film on. So you can watch as much film as you want, but really, once you get out there, you got to kind of feel through the first couple of series, go out and run your best stuff that you ran in camp and execute. And then from there, kind of see where their game plan's at and, adjust and make plays.
Bob Buehler said before that the matchup of quarterbacks might be the matchup of week one when it's you versus Brandon Silvers. And, of course, we're joined by Brett Rypien here on Idaho Sports Talk. And people are comparing you to, when it comes to evaluating quarterbacks, what do you think is the most important trait that a quarterback can possess?
I think first and foremost is toughness, not only physically but mentally as well. And having that ability to, overcome whatever is thrown at you, because there's a lot of stuff that goes on throughout a game. And, you could get smacked in the face the first play, and there you go. You feel like you're back in football again. So, not being able to, you haven't been hit in, 8 months, 9 months now. So it's definitely something that, I think every quarterback, deals with. But at the same time, I think we embrace it. We want to go out there and, get hit and, get back in the flow of the game again.
How do you see your receivers develop in camp? Because other than Cedric Wilson, there's a lot of guys that, haven't had a chance to be a guy that's going to catch 40 or 50 passes. So how have they come together, and what do you think they're going to need to do to get some confidence on Saturday?
I think they've come together really nicely. A.J. Richardson, Sean Monster, Brian Jefferson, Austin Cottrell, Carshall Thomas, Octavius Evans, all those guys have done an unbelievable job, I think, and having said, obviously, he's a dude, and I think that that's something that we all know, and he's had the experience there. And then other than that, there's gonna be some new faces in there, and they're gonna have to go make some plays. So I'm excited, though. I think all those guys have worked really hard, and I think we got a lot of different guys who can go out there and make plays.
Almost the same kind of question for the offensive line as well, because it's a similar type of, there's some experienced guys, yet there's some new guys being worked in. So where's the team in the O-line?
I think we're really good right now. Obviously got some new faces in there, but this is one of the, I think this is probably the biggest O-line I've had since I've been here. So we definitely looked apart up there. And I know that Coach Bedell has done an unbelievable job coaching those guys. Mason Hampton, being the leader of that unit, has done a great job as well. So you know, I'm definitely not worried about that position. I know that they're going to protect me.
Brett, what do you say as a leader to a kid that hasn't played in a game and is going to play in their first game Saturday? What would you want someone in your position to have told you on the first game you were going to play?
Just relax. You know, trust your training. Everything you've been doing for the past, you know, 8 or 9 months now, or, you know, for some guys, it's been 2 or 3 years since they've been here. And, you know, just the little things that you focus on every single day, I think, is the biggest thing. You know, stance, alignment, you know, technique. You know, if you can really, you know, dial in those things and, you know, focus on just doing your job, it makes everything a lot easier. And then once you get into the flow of the game, it's just football again.
Brett Rypien joining us, Idaho Sports Talk, Sports Radio, The Ticket. And this being the home opener, that's always a unique thing, always fun to open the season at home. How important is it to have a packed house, a home field advantage, a loud crowd? What kind of advantage does that give a team?
It gives us a huge advantage. I mean, having 37,000, you know, screaming fans out there, especially in our stadium, it always feels really, really loud. So it's going to be a fun atmosphere. You know, I've never had a game day or a game during the day here. And, you know, that's something that I'm looking forward to. And, you know, it'll be a little bit different. There's going to be some cool stuff, you know, as far as game day atmosphere goes. And it'll be exciting for the fans.
Brett, thanks for your time. You said one thing, though, that I don't want to see happen. I don't want to see you get hit. I know what you mean by that, wanting to get into the flow of things. But I want your big five guys in front of you protecting you so you don't get sacked at all.
Yeah, that would be nice if I came out untouched. But, you know, that's something that, you know, I hope for. But realistically, I know I'm going to get hit. And I'm embracing it, looking forward to it.
All right, Brett, thanks so much. Good luck against the Trojans on Saturday.
All right, appreciate it, guys.
And that was Brett Rypien, Boise State quarterback, getting set for Troy on Saturday. We're broadcasting live down at the Chicago Connection, 4th and Bannock. And if you're too busy with all your after-school activities to cook dinner, check out the mouthwatering selections at chicagoconnection.com. You can register for their e-club and win a free pizza. Yes, a free pizza. Chicago Connection, stop by or call for delivery tonight. Fish, we've got a sports update. What's going to be in it coming up next?
Well, we got some update on some Boise State cross-country teams and their preseason rankings and the volleyball team in action tonight. Plus, if $495 was too much for some big baller shoes, I have some great news for you. That's coming up next on Sports Radio, The Ticket.
The Ticket Sports Update.
This Ticket Sports Update is sponsored by Wendy's. Wendy's knows what's next for the Broncos. It's the Troy Trojans this Saturday, September 2nd. What's next for your next meal? Make it the official hamburger of the NCAA for Wendy's. Well, Boise State cross-country men's and women's team were both picked to finish second in the preseason coaches poll. The men were only 1 point behind Colorado State. Meanwhile, the women were 11 points behind New Mexico. In addition, the Boise State women's volleyball team will make their home debut tonight at the start of the Boise State Invitational. They'll take on the 10th-ranked BYU Cougars.
All right, so what's up with this? That, you know, Boise State got some national champions and, you know, I guess in the men's side, they don't have as many as in the women's side. But I'm just tired of finishing behind Colorado State when I feel like Boise State's better. You know, volleyball poll picked second to Colorado State. Wait a minute. Boise State won the league last year. Boise State has national champions when it comes to cross country. Although, again, more of the long distance runners are on the ladies' side. Now, when it comes to volleyball, this is a pretty big match. I mean, you get the 10th ranked team to come to your spot. You are a team that's coming off of an NCAA tournament appearance, an NCAA tournament win. You return a lot of that team, so you have high expectations for this season. Last year, BYU and Boise State squared off, and BYU beat the Broncos, but that was before Boise State knew that Boise State was Boise State. So I'm looking forward to it. I'll be there tonight.
I will, too, and I also looked at something. Boise State has never beaten BYU. BYU has won all 7 meetings. I think tonight can be the night. Be a big win to beat somebody in the top 10.
No doubt.
Well, tonight also marks the end of the NFL preseason. All week 4 games are tonight. One Bronco that won't be in action will be Kellen Moore. The Dallas Cowboys game against the Houston Texans was canceled due to Hurricane Harvey. But at least one former Boise State star will have his roster spot on the line. Jeremy McNichols, who played only 2 snaps in the week 3 preseason game. According to head coach Dirk Cutter, he said that McNichols will have plenty of snaps available tonight in their game against the Redskins. And this is his chance to make the roster.
It's funny how it's come to this, though. He's got to earn his way on. being a middle to late round draft pick. You kind of thought that his spot would be safe. He was a good fit with Dirk Koetter. And all of a sudden, the preseason happened. And I don't know, Bob, if you've been keeping up with your Hard Knocks in the preseason, but Jeremy McNichols has been featured for two things. Number one, being cool with Snoop Dogg and having a Skype conversation with Mr. Snoop. And then number two is, as Hard Knocks put it, being in the dog house, because he is making tons of mistakes when it comes to pass protection. At least that's how they're phrasing it on Hard Knocks. So hopefully he can learn a little bit of thing or two to stay on the field and protect whoever's the quarterback when he's on the field.
Sounds like maybe he should be spending more time looking at the playbook than chatting with Snoop Dogg.
Snoop Dogg's his coach, though, at least supposed to be. His old coach back in his youth days.
Well, maybe Snoop Dogg could coach the Browns. They need some help. But going to the NBA, the Boston Celtics and Cleveland Cavaliers have come to an agreement over their trade that stalled out after there was concerns of Isaiah Thomas's hip problems. The Celtics have agreed to send a 2020 second-round pick from the Miami Heat to complete the deal. How do you burn a second-round pick? Because I know fans burned Isaiah Thomas's jersey. How do you burn a second-round pick?
That's a good question. Maybe you just write second-round pick on a piece of paper and then burn it. Or hopefully we don't, like, burn literal second-round picks. So it's like Draymond Green was a second-round pick. Let's not, like, just try to burn him.
Do you think that the trade was closer to being nixed entirely? Or do you think if the Celtics had tried to play hardball, that Cleveland still would have taken the deal?
I think you get to a certain point of can't go back. You know, like when you've already traded him and you made statements about thanking him for his time there. But it was, like, time to move on, like Boston did, trading Isaiah Thomas and Cleveland did. I think Boston had more incentive to make sure the deal got done because, you know, everybody knew that Cleveland was trying to trade Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving was the one who wanted to be traded. Isaiah Thomas didn't want to be traded. He found out he was traded, and now he has to walk back into that locker room. Nah, you weren't having that. So,
I figured it out. But I didn't think the Celtics would give him a first-round pick.
Another first-round pick. Or Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum. Second-round pick was what I thought would happen. Now, one thing from this is Isaiah Thomas, how hurt is he? Apparently he's hurt enough where he might miss regular season time next year. Is that second round pick worth Isaiah Thomas being out 30 games or so? If that happens to be it, if you're Cleveland, might be, because you're worried about the playoffs if you're the Cavaliers. And is Isaiah Thomas healthy for the playoffs? If so, then you probably get what you want out of the deal.
Well, the L.A. Lakers' quest for Paul George just got a little bit more expensive. The Lakers have been fined $500,000 for violating the NBA anti-tampering policy after it was found out that their GM had contacted George's agent after the team had already received a warning from the NBA about contacting George. Paul still has 1 year left on his contract, was traded from the Pacers to Oklahoma City this offseason, but it might be the worst-kept secret in the NBA that he is basically headed to L.A. after this season.
Chump change. Who cares about $500,000 when you own teams? I think they should have said no Paul George to the Lakers. They had illegal contact. Let's have him go to somebody else's team. That's what I would have done.
My question is, how did they figure this out? Like, Paul George's agent is also D'Angelo Russell's agent, if I understand that correctly. So you're going to say, hey, Rob Pelinka being a GM, hey, Mr. Agent, want to step into my office? Let's get on the phone and talk about the future of D'Angelo Russell. And then the entire conversation is about Paul George. Like, did they have records of the conversation of what was said? Because if you literally got fined $500,000 for contacting an agent of somebody who's on your team, I don't know how you can fine them that much money for contacting the agent of a player who's on your team.
Somebody had to know what was said in that conversation.
Yeah, exactly. Somebody snitched. Somebody snitched then. Ah, man. Come on, NBA. You can't be snitching out here.
Well, bad news for the Lakers. They had one thing they could have done with $500,000. They could have bought some new shoes. We all know about the $495 ZO2s from the Big Baller brand. Maybe that was a little bit out of your price range. So I've got some great news for you. Announced today, the LaMelo Ball 1s are now on sale for $395. LaMelo is the youngest of the three Ball sons, still in high school. I'm concerned that this might impact his NCAA eligibility. The LaVar Ball said on this, who cares? If he can't play, then he can't play. Doesn't mean he'll stop working out and getting better.
Hey, LaVar going to LaVar, right? He thought he'd go into the reality show without some interest stirred up somehow. Of course, he has to draw up and get into the headlines of our show. But then again, he doesn't have to work very hard to get into the headlines of a Michael Fisher sports update. Now, on that note, I don't like – this is a part about LaVar Ball that I actually like, is when he kind of pokes fun at NCAA rules that sound like they're from like the 1950s. If he's popular enough to get his own shoe, and he's apparently popular enough to draw an audience, because remember that high school, or it really is an AAU game in Vegas that was streamed on Facebook that got like a million people to tune in to watch? That dude doesn't need the NCAA. He really doesn't.
I feel for LiAngelo Ball, though. He doesn't have a shoe yet. He's the middle child.
Middle child problems.
He's supposed to be the worst one of the three, right?
Yeah.
I mean, as far as playing at his age group.
Yeah, now LeVar did say he's being handcuffed by UCLA. If they made LiAngelo's shoe, he'd instantly be benched. So apparently the LiAngelo shoe's coming in April as soon as the UCLA schedule finishes. But I'm upset. Give him a school before he goes to UCLA. Don't make
whoa,
him
whoa,
one
whoa,
year.
Whoa, 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 whoa. You think LiAngelo's playing 1 year and leaving?
That's what LeVar has said. LeVar has already said they're all playing 1 year and leaving.
Well, my question is who's he going to play for next? I don't think the second one's that good.
Free agent signing for the Lakers, right? Just get the whole family on board. Why not? You don't need to tamper with Paul George when no one else wants to play there because you got three of the ball kids.
We got LeVar Ball taking over for Luke Walton in 2021.
I don't see anything wrong with that. Well, going to the NFL, Vontaze Burfict got some good news. His suspension has been reduced to 3 games following his hit on Chiefs fullback Anthony Sherman in week 3 of the preseason. Burfict was also suspended for the 3 games to start last season following his hit on Antonio Browns in the playoffs back in 2015. But the other big NFL ruling might come down as soon as Monday. ESPN has reported that Harold Henderson, the arbiter in the Ezekiel Elliott case, is being heavily pressured to have his decision on the appeal by next Monday. The appeal started Tuesday and ran through today, so hopefully anyone drafting in fantasy football, mark down September 4th. You might know exactly when or won't Ezekiel Elliott play in week 1.
Now you look at Burfict. He's going to get half as many games, 3 than 6. Sounds like he's going to just take the 3 games. He's probably used to being off most of September, all of September. I still think the Ezekiel Elliott thing is not done because let's say his goes from 6 to 3. I don't think he's taking 3.
Because he's like, I didn't do anything. And that's the difference. Like, we can look at the film and say, Burfict did something. And that's an NFL in between the lines type of thing that we all saw. You're basing this suspension off of evidence that is shaky at best in the Ezekiel Elliott case and the fact that he was suspended for 6 games. But, like, you can't say for sure he didn't do anything. You can't say for sure that he did do something, at least from our position. So it's always tough for the NFL to be able to navigate that, but on that note, I don't think Ezekiel Elliott, if he thinks he didn't do anything, why would he take a 3-game suspension or a 2-game suspension? My one thing, though, with this, he was suspended when? Like, about a month ago, right? Like, is when this suspension came out, right? Roughly around maybe 3 weeks ago. The ruling still hasn't come out yet because the appeal was just a couple of days ago. What was going on between the 3 weeks ago when this thing was announced and a couple of days ago when the appeal started? Are y'all going to get this thing marched up a little bit earlier so now it doesn't border on the week of the season starting? That's the one thing I don't understand. What takes these appeals so long to even get on the books? Go, meet, talk, figure it out, go, do it.
And you know that the appeals are going to come right towards the end of the season. What is Henderson and Goodell? Are these guys out at the Hamptons vacation?
Exactly. Let's figure this thing out.
Well, we'll end the sports update by saying two big things kick off tonight. Second biggest thing is the start officially of the college football season. Yes, we had week 0 last week, but week one officially kicks off tonight. Idaho Vandals will be in action. They'll open with Sac State at home coming off their 9-win season and a bowl win. Two ranked teams will be in action tonight. Ohio State will face Big Ten foe Indiana. Number 10 Oklahoma State will open the season against Tulsa. But the big thing that's starting tonight, Marlins-Phillies. Again, the Marlins just got swept by the Nationals. Chris, can you please tell your team to roll over and just give us these 3 wins?
If you can't beat the Phillies, you don't deserve to make no playoffs. Like, it's just as simple as that. If you can't beat the Phillies in a 3-game series, you expect to win a playoff series against the Dodgers? That ain't going to happen.
Yeah, Fish, I think last night or the last 3 nights against the Nats, I think may have sealed the season for Miami.
We'll see. But all right, Chris, I need to know who's going to hit more home runs this series. Reese or Giancarlo Stanton? Who you got?
Reese, the real MVP.
Oh.
Reese Hoskins, the real MVP. Forget all this fake stuff about Stanton. Forget about this Judge guy who everybody was talking about earlier. Cody Bellinger, yeah, he's supposed to be some power threat. Come on, man. The real power's on Philly.
We'll have to see. Coming up next, though, we got quick hits. Bob and Chris are going to tackle four rapid four topics in rapid-fire fashion, including the best end to a baseball game Bob's seen all year, plus the newest varsity sport at Boise State. But if you call right now at 208-424-9300 and you're the third caller, you win a gift card to Beef O'Brady's. Get to Beef O'Brady's on the northwest corner of Overland and Eagle. Score lunch or dinner, beef for business lunches, sports watch parties, or friends and family, an award-winning menu, huge video wall, and big-screen TVs await. It's JP approved. Beef O'Brady's in Meridian. Good food, good sports. Come up next on Sports Radio The Ticket, it's Quick Hits.
Quick Hits with Bob and Chris. Topic number one.
Alrighty, Bob. What was the best end to a baseball game that you've seen in a while?
Well, it was yesterday, St. Louis, Milwaukee, and you see all kinds of walk-off home runs, and everybody celebrates. But this was a defensive walk-off. St. Louis, Milwaukee chasing the Cubs in the National League Central. They're also in the battle for the wild card with Colorado and Arizona. Brewers held a 6-5 lead in the bottom of the ninth. They had two outs on the Cardinals, and Yadier Molina was at first base as the tying run. Randall Grishak was the batter to try to win the game for the Cards. Swinging a drive to center field, looks like it is going to be a go-ahead home run. The Brewers would have had a chance to bat in the bottom of the ninth, but it was Keon Broxton that made a catch, grabbing it over the top of the wall, bringing it back, and that's how the game ended. Milwaukee still alive, 3.5 behind the Cubs, 3 out of the wild card. And that may be the game we're talking about, Fish and the Marlins, that maybe getting beat 3 straight by the Nationals is the one that seals them. This one could have been the game that sealed the Cardinals' fate in 2017.
Now, you said this is the best end to a baseball game you've seen in a while, and you see a lot of walk-off home runs. So you think a walk-off catch is better than a walk-off home run?
I think it's way more rare, and that's why I think that it was something special, because generally when you hear something's decided on the very last play, it's usually somebody that gets a walk-off home run or a base hit to win it. Very rarely is there that sparkling defensive play that ends it, and that's what ended it yesterday.
Topic number two.
All right, Chris, what is one thing Hard Knocks accomplishes?
You know, people try to make fun of preseason week number 4, right? Because nobody plays in it. Nobody wants to risk any important players getting hurt or just tired because they have to play the next week. But the one thing Hard Knocks does is, you know, it kind of does give you storylines to follow for a particular team the final week of the preseason. Like, I don't think the Bucks game is going to be on TV, their week 4 preseason game. But I definitely want to know what happens. Like, I want to know how, like, Cameron Lynch is one of the players who was featured last week. He was a linebacker from Syracuse, happened to be there when I was at Syracuse, but an undrafted free agent. And one of the stars from the show has been this guy, Riley Bullock, who has long hair. They call him like Joe Dirt on Tampa Bay. He's a loud player who kind of lacks some of the physical tools, but he's a good leader and a good locker room guy. They keep trying to build him up as. And they basically pitted those two against each other in the show, saying that, well, there might be only one spot for an extra linebacker, and it's Lynch versus Bullock. So I kind of want to follow the game to just see, like, who has the better game between those two and who's more likely to make the roster when it comes to final cut time. I don't really care that much about a lot of the week 4 storylines for the preseason for these different teams, but I will track that with Tampa.
I wonder if the teams that are on Hard Knocks in the past have been encouraged to let certain guys maybe that were more entertaining make a certain cut, like the first cut or the second cut. Mm-hmm. Now it's a little bit easier because everybody's getting cut at the end here. So from a Hard Knocks perspective, your star is not going to leave in after the second preseason game if he hasn't played well.
Topic number 3.
All right, what is the biggest thing or biggest helping of sour grapes that you've seen in a while?
Well, Caroline Wozniacki is the 5th-rated player seeded at the U.S. Open. She lost to Ekaterina Makarova in a first-round match, which is an upset. She was complaining that Maria Sharapova, coming back from drug suspension, getting an exemption, and then getting to play every match so far at center court at favorable times, has given her an advantage and allowed her to beat a number 2 seed. Wozniacki went on, complained about a lot of things. I think it's business. Sharapova, they know, is going to get the ratings. She was mad that she had to start a match after 11 o'clock. Something tells me that if Wozniacki had won that match over Makarova, that the same comments would not have been made in the post-game interview.
It's just so, like, the Sharapova thing frustrates me. Like, I almost didn't agree. I agree. Maybe it makes me sound like a sour grapes person as well. But, like, she continues to have the number one in endorsements for women's tennis. She gets all these prime endorsements. She gets all these prime time slots when it comes to, I guess, favorable scheduling, center court matchups. And, like, Serena's just flat out better. Like, maybe it's just because I'm such a big Serena fan that this makes me, like, anti-Sharapova. But, like, Serena Williams has had to work for pretty much everything that she's gotten, and she's still probably not as popular as Maria Sharapova, who literally cannot beat Serena Williams. Like, they've faced each other a gajillion times, and the last a million of those gajillion, Serena Williams has spanked Maria Sharapova.
But if you're the promoters of the U.S. Open this year, no Serena Williams.
Yeah.
Would that make it even more important to get Maria Sharapova into your draw?
Probably. I mean, how many other American tennis, or how many players in America do general American sports fans know on the tennis circuit other than Serena, Venus, Sharapova? You start going down the list after that, and it gets a lot more difficult.
Topic number four.
All right, Chris, what is the newest varsity sport at Boise State?
It is esports. Boise State has joined a list of major universities that have approved a varsity esports program. So Boise State will launch a school-sponsored esports team and build a computer lab facility specific to esports ventures. Chris Haskell is the program director of this new varsity esports program, and he'll be with us on Idaho Sports Talk in about 5 minutes from now to explain exactly what is going on at Boise State, and is this something that can actually become a big-time thing now. They will compete in 5 games, League of Legends, Overwatch, Hearthstone, Heroes of the Storm, and Rocket League are the 5 games. I must say I'm not really familiar with playing a lot of those games, although I know League of Legends, people just dedicate so much time to that. So I don't think you can really walk on and expect to compete with the big boys when it comes to League of Legends. But I want to get the lowdown from him in about 5 minutes on how this came about and what the plans are for the future of this.
So, Chris, you're young. You haven't graduated college that long ago, but you missed the boat here.
It sounds like I did. It sounds like I was the prime candidate for somebody who could earn a Madden scholarship. Now, I'm not even familiar with, like, if they're even doing scholarship or what the format will be. But if I could have gone to college and represented my school playing Madden, again, not one of the games, but if I could have represented Syracuse playing Madden, that would have been just the greatest of all time.
Bob and Chris, Idaho Sports Talk. We're at Chicago Connection, 4th and Bannock. The better pizza. Enjoy one of their gourmet deep dish pizzas delivered in a hot oven truck today. Esports at Boise State and nationally. That's next on Sports Radio The Ticket. Good afternoon. Hour number two of Idaho Sports Talk. Bob and Chris down here at Chicago Connection, 4th and Bannock. We'll be having several of these during the course of the football season to get you ready for Boise State football. Great place for lunch. Chris enjoyed chicken Alfredo, ooh, and I had the salad bar along with my own personal individual pizza. Both great. Both very, very quick coming out. Great place for lunch, and we've enjoyed being here today. Again, 4th and Bannock will be at a different location the next time we do it, so keep tuned. Boise State adding a sport. It's going to be esports. Everybody's playing video games. Boise State getting in the business too, Chris.
So it seems like, and Chris Haskell is the programming director of this new team at Boise State, has a varsity esports program, and earlier today, it was Michael Fishner and I, because we're the video game guys.
Right.
I thought you wouldn't know a PlayStation from an Xbox from a Dreamcast.
I can't get my guys or do whatever to go in the right direction. So I figured Michael Fisher is very knowledgeable. The listeners would appreciate two people that know what they're talking about doing this interview.
So the first thing I brought to Chris Haskell, the programming director of the Varsity Esports program, is what exactly is Boise State getting itself into?
Boise State is getting itself into the front of the pack, the front of the race, getting in at the right time on what is going to be the biggest movement on college campuses of the next two decades.
All right. I need you to explain that. What's going to be one of the biggest trends in the next couple of decades? What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, we've seen a dramatic change, all of us, you know, even those of us who are gamers, a dramatic change in just kind of play culture. There used to be a time where parents would push us all out of the house. I mean, I don't need to give anybody a history lesson, but we'd go out to play. You know, it'd be stickball in the street with the manhole as home base, or in somebody's weird yard playing, touch football. And by the way, the rhododendrons are out of bounds, you know, kind of a deal. But in the last couple of decades, we've brought that play inside and we've put it on machines. We've started playing games, whether it's Halo or StarCraft or, you know, Zelda, all the way to the games of today, League of Legends. And that competitive kind of playful culture has become more electronically driven than it has in the past. And the people who know all about this, you know, maybe not people closer to my age, I'm just going to claim 29, but, people who traditionally listen to, say, sports radio haven't seen this world develop. But everybody under 30 has. You know, this is on Twitch. It's streaming in places like MLG. It's all over the place, right? We're watching competitive gaming more than we're watching the Stanley Cup playoffs, then the NBA Finals, and the, of course, the World Series. The only thing that has more eyeballs than, you know, League of Legends national or world championships is the Super Bowl, and only by a little bit. So when we say we're kind of jumping to the front of this, Boise State has made a commitment to start paying attention to and giving a place for its students to compete at all levels in intercollegiate competitive video games.
So now, Chris, as most Bronco fans know, we have Albertson Stadium, we have Taco Bell Arena where we can watch the basketball, the football team. Where are we going to watch the Boise State esports team? Are we going to be able to go into this computer lab and watch them, or is this going to be a thing like you're talking about where we have to watch this on Twitch?
Well, so first of all, they're never called computer labs. They're called esports arenas. And they're essentially the same thing, only an esports arena has way cooler carpet and the lights are turned down low, just so you know. I mean, no. But you know what? We honestly had visions for something very different, something very groundbreaking, something very blue turf thinking in Boise State's future as it relates to esports, not just for our students to kind of come and attend and play and even watch, but, you know, what does it mean to invite other schools to have head-to-heads, not just on Twitch, because if you've ever been to any live esports events, by the way, if you don't know what we're talking about, Google it, right? You will see as hyped a crowd and as into the action as you see at any, basketball game or football game. And so people can watch, you know, from the comfort of their phones or their homes or wherever they can get internet signal and watch the Broncos, say, play against Utah, who will be one of our early rivals. The idea is that they'll be able to come down, and whether it's the Spec Center or, heaven forbid, we make national championships in one of the five games we're competing in, that it could be something in Taco Bell Arena. I mean, it's a very user-friendly, crowd-friendly kind of sport to watch.
We're talking Boise State and esports, with Boise State joining a list of major universities to approve a varsity esports program, with Chris Haskell, who's the program director, one of the assistant professors at Boise State.
Now, Chris, you're talking about there's five games that Boise State's going to start competing in. Is this a sort of a thing where we're going to focus all our efforts on, say, League of Legends, and we're going to maybe throw Overwatch to the back burner, and we really want to be good at League of Legends? Or is this going to be where we want to be good at all five of them? Is there a focus we want to have, or is it be good at everything?
Here's what's awesome is that, you know, esports is a lot like a track team, where you have different events with different specializations. And the track team doesn't just come in and say, look, we're going to be really good hurdlers, but let's leave the distance out. No, you bring in specialists that can excel in those things. And a great Boise State track team and a great Boise State esports team will have a League of Legends group. We're also going to play, as you mentioned, in Overwatch, which are both team games. We're also going to play in Heroes of the Storm, which has the Heroes of the Dorm competition, one of the biggest collegiate esports things around. UT Austin won it last year. And we're also going to play Hearthstone, which is a single-player game. You think about throwers in track. That's a very kind of individual kind of a thing. And we're also going to play in Rocket League as well our first year, but actually look to expand other things. So esports actually is really inclusive. It pulls a lot of people in, and it lets them kind of specialize in the thing that they're best at.
We're talking Boise State and esports with Chris Haskell, the program director for the new varsity esports program. It's going to be at Boise State. So my follow-up there is, where are we going to find the talent?
The good news is that we already have a lot of talent. We have quietly been collecting names for a little while, and it may or may not surprise you that Boise State current students include folks who are world-ranked in different games, including a couple of former professionals in different games, including League of Legends. So we already have a great talent base. But also, when you kind of throw out a call like this, you know, and say, hey, we're doing esports, as you can imagine, my email will never be the same. I have more, hey, I don't know if you know this, but I am, ranked Grandmaster at Heroes of the Storm, and I'm a DPS player, but also I'm a really good support player. How can I get connected? How can I get started? So daily doubles are going to start almost immediately, playing night and day. Those are the daily doubles in esports. And we're going to get these folks together, start getting a sense of talent and getting a sense of, how they work and play together. We're going to start building these teams out and get ready to start the regular season.
Now, do these players get scholarships?
So that's the plan. Now, we're one of four FBS schools now to have a varsity esports program. So essentially, if you can play for a bowl game, there are four of us schools. Utah, as I mentioned, going to be one of our early rivals for sure. AJ Dimmick is their director out there, and they've got a great program attached, like ours, to an academic department. So we're excited about that. But they've started offering scholarships specific to their AEA, which is basically their entertainment and arts kind of major there. We have already been approached by people who said, hey, I'm really interested in offering scholarships. And the nice thing about this, we're just, kind of starting to see who's interested in those types of things. We've had nothing but support from the university. And just as expected, there are people who are really interested, for example, say, EdTech. EdTech often has a lot of graduate teachers and people who are pursuing degrees in, their teachers who are like, hey, I'm a really good League of Legends player. The EdTech department might pool its fans and resources and create a special scholarship. They don't have to come from like one athletic umbrella because it's not an athletic, program. You can seek scholarships from lots of places. They can be independent, but tied to esports. They can be tied to departments. There's lots of really cool options. But there are lots of scholarships, most famously Robert Morris University offering or committing $500,000 to scholarships and fee waivers in esports. And Kurt Melcher, who is their athletic director there, is all in on esports, as they are on lots of other things. And we've looked to them a lot to kind of go, oh, well, it's not just a clever idea. They actually have some really good models, and we're in the process of investigating and executing on some of those scholarships. So, sorry, you asked a great 25-cent question. I gave you a $2 answer.
Always appreciate it.
Yeah, so scholarships are how you do college esports, and now we're trying to figure out how many and where they come from and who they target. It's pretty cool.
I've learned that I've went to college at the wrong time. I could have gotten a scholarship to play Madden somewhere, and that would have been fantastic.
Now let me, before you throw that away, let me remind you, this is, a lot of people confuse, esports with athletics, but esports, would be a varsity program, very similar to cheerleading, to marching band, to dance, the Talking Broncos, right, are all examples of kind of academic varsity programs. They can wear the university's colors. They can use the name. They can, faculty can directly support what's happening, but not bound by the same kind of pieces or restrictions that, say, an NCAA-sanctioned sport would. So here's the good news. You're still eligible. You just need to get down to playing, the more time, the better. You're still eligible.
The dream is still alive. We're joined by Chris Askell, who's the program director of the new Boise State Varsity Esports Program.
Now, Chris, every Bronco fan has had September 2nd, Boise State Troy, circled on their calendar. So for esports fans, what's the date that we should have on our calendar for the first Boise State esports? What game is it going to be? What tournament is it going to be? What date should we have circled of esports fans to cheer on the Broncos?
So, for esports fans, we definitely have a date coming. Now, I'm going to have to give that to you a different day. Here's why. This weekend in Seattle, Washington is PAX West, which is one of the biggest video game conventions anywhere. And it's just a wonderful event up there. We're going to go up there, and part of what we'll walk away from that event with is some dates. Maybe it kind of is acting like almost like a director's meeting. We'll have Michael Brooks, who's the director of the National Association of Collegiate Esports. I'll be there with AJ Dimmick from Utah. We'll come up with some friendlies. I believe that the first date will be mid-October and that the game will be Overwatch.
Chris, we appreciate the time. Thanks for joining. Awesome. Looking forward to following.
Awesome, guys. Thanks a lot.
Fascinating. Chris was on his phone looking how he can become a part-time student.
Yes.
So he could get there and play for Boise State.
Figure it out. Like, can I get a master's and a completely like funded by my Madden playing ability? Or maybe I should take up League of Legends?
I don't think they care about Madden. It's not one of the five games.
So maybe League of Legends and I can get my master's. That's awesome.
We are coming to you live this afternoon from Chicago Connection. And by the way, if you're running late to a game or another activity with no time to cook, choose from a selection of mouthwatering pizza choices or a signature lasagna pie. We had a text in that said that is to die for from Chicago Connection. There's even a gluten-free option as well. Incredible toppings, loads of mozzarella, all from Chicago Connection. Now, if you're playing fantasy football, this is a guy you don't want to miss. He's up next. Jake Letarski knows everything. We'll find out how many leagues he's going to be in this year and whether he thinks he can win half of them. That's next when we come back to Chicago Connection on Idaho Sports Talk on Sports Radio The Ticket. We are back at Chicago Connection here today. We will be out at several other Chicago Connections. We're at 4th and Bannock now during the course of the football season leading up to home games. We appreciate them opening their doors today. Great pizza, great chicken Alfredo, great salad bar. We've had a good time out here. And we just heard about Boise State going to play esports. And now it's your chance to play fantasy football. Jake Letarski from RotoWire is a guy who has given us great information throughout past the several years. And Jake, before Chris gets into the nuts and bolts and questions, I want to know, how many leagues are you going to be in this year, and can you win half of those?
Hey, first of all, thanks for having me, gentlemen. It's always
great.
A pleasure. And to answer your question, I've got about five serious ones. Last year, I won two and cashed in two more. So I could probably swing half again, but I got to stumble on someone like David Johnson once again if I'm going to repeat.
You find these diamonds in the rough. Now, as somebody who's been a loyal one-league guy most of my life, I've actually stepped outside the box, and I'm actually in three of them now this year. So when you typically do yours, do you have a lot of the same players? How often do you go up against where you're rooting for a guy to score more than five but less than eight? I can't imagine doing that is too fun.
Yeah, you know, sometimes that is a tough situation, but I do find myself with a lot of repeats. Of course, there are certain first-rounders that you're only going to be able to get depending on where you're drafting, of course. But I don't know, a couple guys that I have a lot of shares of right now would be Devontae Parker. I really like where he's trending. Travis Kelce, I've been able to get at good prices in my options. I think he'll be top two or three tight end this year. So I do end up with a lot of players in common, so I do root for a lot of the same people.
Interesting. We're joined by Jake Letarski of RotoWire Fantasy Football with the fourth week of the preseason coming up. But the third week of the preseason, that's when a lot of the starters played, and that's when we saw some of the injuries start to pile up. The primary one of a lot of people drafted was Julian Edelman with the Patriots. So if Julian Edelman, you drafted him early, he went down, what are some of the things that you can do to replace him?
Well, first off, you can look at a guy like Chris Hogan, possibly, if, you know, he might not have been drafted if your league was drafting before Edelman got hurt. I think he steps into that rotation a little bit, but if you still have drafts coming up, I think Brandon Cooks gets a pretty massive bump. He was already kind of going early second round for me. I could see him going as one of the, at the turn in the first round in a 12 or 14 team league for sure. I think he's the biggest beneficiary. You have a player just entering his prime at 24 years old, some people are saying lateral movement at quarterback frees to Brady, but it just seems like him and Brady have been clicking in camp, and he is absolutely a candidate to see something along the lines of a 1,400-yard, 10-touchdown season for Cooks. So really liking him, but if you're trying to replace him, yeah, go for someone like Chris Hogan. I would go Chris Hogan 1, Malcolm Mitchell 2, and Amendola 3 in terms of how much upside those ancillary players can provide in New England.
Sticking with the Patriots, one of the dilemmas that I've come across, and I'm sure other people have, is just with their running backs. Like, how are you able to tell which one you want to pick at a certain point in the draft? From Rex Burkhead to Mike Gillisley to James White, they might have a couple of other guys somewhere along the lines. What do you do with them?
Those are really tough, and it's going to be incredibly frustrating for fantasy owners during the year. Kind of, they're going to be pulling their hair out trying to figure out when to start, when not to start, because Belichick is notorious for kind of switching up that game plan based on his opponent. Right now, I'm looking at Mike Gillisley, maybe round 7 or 8, and White. And White and Lewis probably go in the 10 to 12 range. Burkhead, you'd have to be in a little bit deeper league. But all four of those guys are going to have weeks where they get 15, 20 fantasy points. It's just going to be scattered. I personally, I think I have one Gillisley share, but I've avoided the rest just due to the uncertainty. I like a little bit less stress when I'm setting my lineups on a week-to-week basis.
Idaho Sports Talk with Bob and Chris. We're here on Sports Radio, The Ticket, talking fantasy football with Jake Litarski of rotowire.com. Jake, is there a player out there this year that maybe could be a mid-level pick if it's a draft or if it's an auction, somebody that's not going to cost you too much, that maybe next year after the season's over you'd say this guy is a keeper kind of guy?
Yeah, absolutely. I do like John Ross in Cincinnati as one of those guys. I'm not necessarily super high on him this year, but I took him with a $1 bid at the end of my recent keeper auction, and he's someone that athletically is incredibly gifted here and could very well be breaking out within the next year or two. He just has to surpass veterans like LaFell and second-year player Tyler Boyd on the depth chart, so I'm going to give him some time to do that. And you mentioned injuries. One other wide receiver in a similar situation, largely unproven, but Kevin White is going to get more of an opportunity with Cameron Meredith out of the picture. He's someone that can be had at a relatively cheap price. That, I mean, at 6'3", 215, he can move the chains and get looks in the red zone. So that would be another potential keeper candidate. Of course, there's a little bit of inconsistency at the quarterback position, especially if they make a midseason change. So, yeah, maybe someone at the end that could prove valuable in the future.
Kevin White was a top 10 draft pick out of West Virginia, too, so quite a talent there if you could ever
put
it all together.
Yeah, people forget about that.
Yeah. Jake Litarski, rotowire.com, joining us on Idaho Sports Talk. And now rounding out the trio with preseason injuries, Spencer Ware looks like he's done for most, if not all, of the season. Kareem Hunt is the next guy up in the Kansas City backfield. How far up the rankings is he in terms of running backs being the feature for an Andy Reid offense?
Kareem Hunt is absolutely someone that's gone on fire in terms of moving up in ADP. I think some people are overreacting a little bit. I've seen him as high as a third-round pick, and that seems a little outrageous to me. I like him more about the fifth round in a 12-team format. Hunt is, you know, his combine numbers, I have those in front of me now, 4'6", 240, 119-inch broad jump. None of these scream exceptional athlete at you. This is more of an issue of opportunity here. And you mentioned, you know, the Andy Reid workhorse running backs. He's definitely not Brian Westbrook or LeSean McCoy or Jamal Charles. I think you have to temper your expectations a little bit, but he does creep into RB1 territory. There are about 12 or 13 running backs I'd definitely rather have, but don't overreact too much, but he definitely does get a big bump.
I got him in the sixth round of my 12-team format draft, so I think I'm feeling pretty good about that.
Yeah, that's perfect, Chris. That's nice work.
There you go. Jake Litarski, rotowire.com. We appreciate the time.
Yeah,
we'll talk to you next week, Jake. Appreciate it.
Thanks again for having me.
Rubbing in all your good picks there.
Yeah, I know. I just had to, like, throw a little bit of, you know, goodwill my own way, pat myself on the back. You said fifth round, and I got him in the sixth. That's what you call value in drafts.
Mm-hmm. Listen to the Treasure Valley Prep Rally. It's brought to you by Mountain West Bank. It's going to be today at 4:45 on Idaho Sports Talk with Caves and Prater. Each week, a high school football coach will be on to discuss the game of the week, so don't miss it. Mountain West Bank, love where you bank. We're down here at the Chicago Connection, 4th and Bannock, broadcasting our show. Fish, you've got an update coming up. What's in it?
Well, some news on Boise State cross country and where they sit in the preseason coaches poll, plus Boise State volleyball team in action tonight, why you should watch that game, plus start of the college football season. We'll tell you guys everything that's on TV tonight. That's coming up next on Sports Radio, The Ticket.
The Ticket Sports Update.
This sports ticket sports update sponsored by MyBookie.ag. It's time to score big on the nonstop action at MyBookie.ag. Call 844-900-2387 or visit MyBookie.ag to open an account. Well, Boise State cross country is picked to finish second in both the men's and women's preseason coaches poll released today. The men finished 1 point behind Colorado State, while the women were 11 points behind New Mexico. And tonight, the Boise State women's volleyball team will make their home debut against number 10 BYU as they kick off the Boise State Invitational.
I have a feeling I'm just not going to like Colorado State this year. This athletic year, I just will not be a fan of the Rams. Football, they look like they might be pretty good. At least the start of the year, they put up 58 points on Oregon State. So it might be Boise State and Colorado State battling it out for the Mountain Division in football. You go to cross country, they're picked ahead of Boise State. Broncos 2, Colorado State 1. Volleyball, Colorado State was picked 1 when Boise State won the conference last year, and they were picked 2nd. Women's basketball, Colorado State's typically picked near the top. Wouldn't be surprised if it's again, even though Boise State beat them last year in the Mountain West tournament and went on to make the NCAA tournament. So I just have a feeling I'm going to be very anti-Colorado State throughout this athletic season.
And I'm going to throw one more on. Boise State, Colorado State seem to play games that go down to the final shot.
Of course, that was basketball.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah.
So women's basketball, men's basketball, cross country, volleyball, and football. Just the target is on CSU. They're going down.
Well, Chris, one thing you can hold above CSU is that they lost to the Idaho Vandals last year in the famous Idaho Potato Bowl, and the Vandals will kick off their season tonight as FBS Week 1 officially starts. The Vandals will open with Sac State coming off their 9-win season and a win over Colorado State in the famous Idaho Potato Bowl. Two ranked teams will be in action tonight. Ohio State, number 2 in the country, will open with Big Ten foe Indiana, and number 10 Oklahoma State will open the season against Tulsa.
And if this game were played next year between Idaho and Sacramento State, it would be a league game.
Yeah. Conference game. Big Sky, shout out. Now, with Idaho, it would be really strange if they went out winning, 8-plus games back-to-back season. They won, 9 last year, and they finished with 8 or so this year, which, just reading some previews, they could easily do. It's possible for them. And now you feel like you're, building something, and then you're going down. It's just a tough situation that you have to work through, but, to finally feel like you're getting a good footing in FBS, and then you have to go right down to FCS.
Well, their problem is, in my opinion, they can't make a go as an independent.
Yeah.
They have no choice.
And one other deadline today. Today is the deadline for all Major League Baseball teams to add players to their roster if they want them to be eligible for the postseason, and one team has at least pulled off a move. The Los Angeles Angels have acquired Justin Upton from the Detroit Tigers. Upton hitting .279 with 28 home runs and 94 RBIs this season. Now a part of the Angels as they try to chase down the Twins for the American League wild card.
And I thought I saw Cameron Maben moved on a waiver claim that somebody is letting him go and somebody's picking him up. So, this is your last call. If it's like we're at the bar, if you're not on the roster when midnight ends tonight, you can't play in the postseason.
Where's BJ Upton at? Does anyone know?
I don't believe BJ's with anybody right now.
Okay, Justin Upton. I can't keep up with the Uptons. Upton here, Upton here. I don't know.
Is Kate Upton still with Justin Verlander?
I think that one is still there. I can keep track of her. The baseball playing ones, that's a little bit more difficult.
And there was one other deadline today I forgot about. The Boston Celtics and Cleveland Cavaliers had until today to come to an agreement over their trade involving Isaiah Thomas and Kyrie Irving. And the Celtics, after realizing that Isaiah Thomas's hip might not have been as healthy as they believe, have agreed to send a 2020 second-round pick from the Miami Heat to complete the deal. Isaiah Thomas now officially headed to Cleveland, and Kyrie Irving now headed to Boston. All jerseys that have been burned do not need to be revived.
And adding it was the Astros that claimed Cameron Maben, and it looks like he was put on waivers when they got Justin Upton because they had to clear a spot on the roster. And then speaking of Kate Upton with Justin Verlander, they still think Verlander may go later today in a trade.
So oh, wow. We'll see. So this is like trade deadline number 2, basically, we're coming up against. Maybe more big names here than before.
And we will be freezing for a reason tomorrow at Maverick on Eustick and Cloverdale. It's in Boise, raising money for the Wildland Firefighters Foundation. Drop by from 1 to 6 tomorrow or go to ktik.com. You can help by bidding on Coors branded skis, coolers, refrigerators, and more. And then again, tomorrow, watch Chris and I and then Caves and Prater broadcast from a beer cooler jammed with Coors Banquet beer, and your purchases help firefighters. We'll be freezing for a reason tomorrow on Sports Radio 93.1 FM and 1350 AM, The Ticket. Up next, what we learned in the show. What I know I learned is Boise State's going to have an e-sports team. That's next on Sports Radio, The Ticket. Coming up tomorrow on Sweet Deals at KTIK.com, $25 will get you the Choice Cuts Tailgate Bundle. It's a $66 value. Again, tomorrow at 9 a.m. is when it starts. You got to be at KTIK.com. And what we will then give you if you buy it, the $25 for the $66 value, you'll get to tailgate with 3 pounds of hamburger patties and brats, 1 pound of jerky and pepperoni, and a bottle of Bronco barbecue sauce. Again, at KTIK.com. Tomorrow at 9 a.m., getting you ready for the start of the tailgating season.
And it's time to find out what we learned today on Idaho Sports Talk with Bob and Chris. It's sponsored by Pro-Am Sports, your full-service pro shop and bowling specialist with high-quality bowling balls, bags, shoes, and accessories. It's located right inside Westie's Garden Lanes in Garden City. We started off by talking to Boise State quarterback Brett Rippon ahead of their showdown this Saturday against Troy. We asked Rippon what the impact a crowded Broncos stadium will have for the team.
Gives us a huge advantage. I mean, having 37,000, screaming fans out there, especially in our stadium, it always feels really, really loud. So it's going to be a fun atmosphere. I've never had a game during the day here. And, that's something that I'm looking forward to. And, it'll be a little bit different. There's going to be some cool stuff, as far as game day atmosphere goes. And it'll be exciting for the fans.
Well, let's hope that Boise State's able to get close to that 37,000. Understand that ticket sales have been going better this week, and looking forward to getting that number above 30,000, headed towards 37,000 on Saturday. Brett Rippon needs 1 yard passing to become a 7,000-yard passing guy.
I don't know if he'll get it.
Yeah.
It's the drama.
Yeah.
The drama of going into the first week. Can he get to that mark? Could he get to that bench? Might take him a little. Maybe by the third quarter, he might be able to handle getting to that 7,000 yard. I think he's got this.
I'd love to see him open the game up with a touchdown to Cedric. Wouldn't that be a great way to open the game?
That's the thing. Like, I remember watching the Eagles growing up they were the local team. Grew up in the Philadelphia area. And it always seemed like Andy Reid was able to, on his first play of the game, connect on a deep shot to the number one receiver. The first play of the season. And I always wonder, don't they know that's coming? This is no mystery. I know it's the first game of the year, but it's Donovan McNabb and Terrell Owens. How about you stop that? Like, you don't let them go deep on you the first play of the game. But it would work every single time. So, like, maybe Boise State could have the same thing happen where I know Brett Rippon's good. I know Cedric Wilson is good. I know Troy knows that Brett Rippon is good and Cedric Wilson is good. But still, on the first play of the game, it's like a play action deep pass to Cedric Wilson and it connects for 70 yards.
And how about the safety biting or the corner biting on the play fake to the fullback on the first play and leaving no one within 5 yards of Cedric Wilson.
I mean, it probably won't happen, but, like, Andy Reid always got it to work. So maybe Harrison could talk to Andy Reid about that and say, like, how do you get the ball in your best player's hands deep every single time to start the season and have it work? So with Rippon, he did mention the crowd. Hopefully it's big and it's an opportunity for Boise State with this day game, and I know the ticket sales maybe started slow. Maybe they're picking up a little bit this week, so that's a positive thing. But I do think a home field advantage could make a difference. This is not a Louisiana opener. This is not an opener against an FCS opponent or somebody at that level. This is a team that can win the Sun Belt. This is a squad that has the returning offense that was the best in the conference last year, talking about Troy. You have Silvers, who's one of the top returning passers in all of FBS. What is he, number 5 in career passing yards? Brett Rippon is also in the top 10. Now, on that note, I find it interesting. Brett Rippon, starting his senior year next year, what do you think he'll rank amongst the active passing leaders in college football?
Well, what would another 3,500 yards, where would that take him?
I was trying to actually look this up. I couldn't find it. Like, looking who's the active leader in passing. Active. And looking at their class and seeing, all right, who is in the junior class and who will probably come back. Like, Rippon will probably be top 5, right? Mm-hmm. You'd think top 4 could even be.
I mean, the only thing would be if somebody played every game as a freshman, because he missed 2.5 games before he got into the lineup. So, I don't know. He's averaged about 3,500 yards passing. So.
Even if you played every game as a freshman, it's hard to throw for more yards than Rippon. Like, say what you want. Boise State's passing offense, first in the conference each of the last couple of years with Brett Rippon there. In a conference where, you know, teams do throw and a lot of points are scored. So I think it'll be pretty high on the list. Might not be number one, although you can, again, survey the scene if you want. But it could be in the top five or top four, and that'd be fun to have the returning leader in passing on the West Coast. Jake Browning, by the way. If he comes back for another year, that could be a guy he's in competition with.
So we'll see. We'll see. I think Rippon's poised for a good year this year. I really do. And I think a lot's going to depend on receivers 2, 3, and 4 behind Cedric Wilson and what they're able to do. I think they're going to get more out of the tight ends than they did last year. So, you know, still a lot of question marks with the offense going into the year.
Next up, perhaps the thing Chris was most excited about. Boise State announced the other day that they now have a varsity esports program. We're able to talk to Chris Haskell. He's the esports director at Boise State. And the question everyone wants to know, are we going to give scholarships to these kids that are playing esport at Boise State?
So that's the plan. Now, we're one of four FBS schools now to have a varsity esports program. Utah, as I mentioned, going to be one of our early rivals for sure. We have already been approached by people who said, hey, I'm really interested in offering scholarships. And the nice thing about this, we're just, you know, kind of starting to see who's interested in those types of things. We've had nothing but support from the university.
Chris, I think we could agree on this. We went to school. We were born 3 years too early.
Yeah, this just sounds – although he did say in that interview that we didn't lose our eligibility. And we're still eligible. We just got to go back to school. And we got to, like, get a master's apparently or something like that. But we did not lose our eligibility. So if they get – if they decide they want to go the Madden route, which wasn't one of the games that they featured of the five, but if they want to go the Madden route, I might look at master's programs at Boise State and figure, okay, where can I slide in here?
Now let me ask you, for recruiting purposes – because that's you're going to do this to win, right?
I mean,
we're not doing this to play, right? We're doing this to win.
You play to win the game.
So can you videotape yourself or can they watch you? I mean, if I'm Chris Haskell and I have to decide on what students I want to have on my team, you know, you may live down in the Southern California area and you say, oh, I'm a great game player. But how would you showcase yourself so that I could see if you really are a good player?
There's national rankings. For these games, there are national rankings, and like in the interview, he sort of did hint on the fact that Boise State has a few students that are currently there that are in the national rankings for some of these games. So they keep track. There is definitely a system in place. Like, for example, back in the PlayStation 2 days, I think it was Madden 2005, maybe have been 2004. Like, I was ranked in the top 500 in Madden nationally, so... They have a way to track this. There's no mystery, and these other schools can find talent, so Boise State should be able to find that talent too.
In the top 500, what would that put you, a 4-star, a 3-star?
Ooh, I don't know. I feel like I'd be a 4-star. I'm not a 5-star because I wasn't like on Madden Nation, although I once beat a guy who was on the television show Madden Nation, which was on ESPN back in the day. I beat a guy who was on that show, so maybe that would have boosted if I was on the border between the 3-star and 4-star. Well, I had a really big game in a very crucial spot, so that may have put me on the border of the 4-star recruit.
Now, the question I have for you guys played against each other in a Madden game, correct? In the studio.
A couple of them.
And I announced one of them.
A Madden game you announced?
Which one did I do?
You did Tony Hawk.
Oh, it was Tony Hawk.
Yeah.
Okay.
You did the Tony Hawk game.
I knew that I had a video game. Did I do a good enough job where if this thing blows up that I could prime myself to be one of the voices of these games?
Yeah, you've acted like shocked on everything that happened, though. So maybe you got to get a couple of reps under your belt to kind of like be less shocked about what happened. Because like in football, you can't be shocked on a 3-yard run. You know, you got to be.
But I understand football. I don't necessarily understand It was when they were coming for the extreme sports, the X Games.
Yeah, exactly. We did a little Tony Hawk event or a little Tony Hawk competition in the studio, and yeah, I would rather be in the esports than be broadcasting it. Although, you know, broadcasting it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world because I just can't get on the League of Legends type of national. I don't even play that game. I just want it to be sports video games. If we can start transitioning esports at Boise State to be like NBA 2K and Madden, we seriously got to start thinking about like doing live shows live from the 2K NBA 2K finals. Like that's what I've been doing this for. That's what I grew up to do. just be featured in these big-time Madden events.
Now, Bob, I will say they're not called broadcasters at these games. They're called shoutcasters for a reason. So you might have to bring some energy if you wanted to be the voice of Bronco Esports.
Oh, okay.
So you might have to start shouting. You know, your voice might be a little weak for the football and basketball games. So I don't know if that would work out because they're called shoutcasters, not broadcasters.
Okay. Well, I think I'm going to stick in the lane that I'm, LeVar Ball says, stay in your lane. I think I'm going to stay in my lane. Talk about things I know about football and basketball.
All right, so you're leaving the esports if it's featured on KTIK at some point down
you
the line.
You can have it. You and Fish can have it.
All right, we got it.
You and Fish can have it. And, again, we want to thank the folks here at Chicago Connection today for hosting us. We will be at various Chicago Connections during the course of the fall leading up to Boise State home games. Great food out here. I really enjoyed the pizza and salad bar. I know you like the chicken Alfredo. I was impressed at how fast they got it out. So if you're looking for something at lunch that, you know, you kind of need to be in and out quickly, I was impressed with that. I was able to get it in time before we started the show here today. So that was outstanding. People really nice. They had a great crowd here at lunch. Nice place in downtown. Easy to get to. And we appreciate them hosting today.
Filling, too. Like, that's the thing. You got to go back to work. And you have the energy there. Just may have to get off of that, you know, the tendency to get tired right after lunch.
And tomorrow we will be out at Maverick for Freezing for a Reason. Yeah, Chris is shivering right now. We will be doing that tomorrow, leading off 5 hours of coverage from out at Maverick. You stick in Cloverdale. Caves and Prater up next on Idaho Sports Talk on Sports Radio The Ticket.
Sports Radio 93.1 FM and 1350 AM, The Ticket.